I'm excited about tonight. I feel like God has given me an instruction for tonight. And let's hope that it's God. So what I want to do tonight is I want to introduce you to the Holy Spirit. Didn't we have an amazing time last week with that Bethel team that's there? Nice to see these guys back from Pretoria. Daniel, Joe, and then did I see Zach somewhere as well? Somebody said Zach. Hey, Zachariah, nice to see you. What? But just a wonderful expression of joy, of life, of fun. Wasn't it amazing to see so many young people, like youth, just coming up, expectant and ready for God? I honestly do believe that Generation Z is Generation Zeal. And we've got to make sure that God, you know, zeal is something that you've got to maintain. You can lose it. And that's why Paul says, make sure you maintain or keep your spirit, your zeal, and all these sorts of things. But tonight what I want to do is I want to introduce you to the Holy Spirit. I felt God say to me this afternoon when I was preparing, introduce the people to me, Holy Spirit. And I had a picture of me taking somebody's hand and introducing you to the Holy Spirit. And we're a church that believes in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're a church that is passionate about God and all who He is. And so there's not one favorite form or person, let me rather say, of who He is. Heather this morning spoke about the fruit of the Spirit. And she also spoke about the gifts of the Spirit. You know, those are gifts of the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot have and operate in those gifts. And I loved when she was reading this morning out of Galatians chapter 5. I kind of knew this, but it kind of refreshed again to me the reality of Galatians chapter 5, where's it here? In verse 13, he says this in verse 13. He says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, but rather serve one another humbly in love. So that's how it starts. Serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Then he goes on in verse 16 to say, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And then he goes on to say that how the acts of the flesh are obvious. And they are sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. They're all things that break community. They're all things that break relationships. That's why he starts off by saying, do not use your freedom to indulge your flesh, rather serve one another. Because the fruits of the Spirit are all things that build relationships, that build communities. The gifts of the Spirit gather communities. The fruits of the Spirit build communities. Without the fruit of the Spirit, you can't build the relationships that a community that believes in the Lordship of Jesus needs to be. But without the gifts of the Spirit flowing, that community never gets to be in its fullness and never gets to extend itself beyond itself, because the gifts are there to bring the community and to express the power of God through that community. But the fruits of the Spirit are there to bring that community together to be that community of love. That's why it's patience and kindness, self-control, not only for that community, for all of life. But it's quite amazing that the context in which this is written is in keeping this community together. But for that to happen, we need the Holy Spirit. We need an expression of the Holy Spirit that is powerful, that is real. Jack Taylor said this about the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm convinced what a person believes about the Holy Spirit is the single most powerful determinant of the effect he will have on us. What you believe about the Holy Spirit is the single most powerful determinant of the effect that the Holy Spirit will have on us. He goes on to say, for years, I reacted to what I thought were the extremes in the practice of those who believed in the primacy of the Spirit. What I suffered by my own reaction was far more serious than what may have been the effect of wrong doctrines and questionable practices on the other side. Quite an admission, eh? This is a man that's walked with God. He's with Jesus now. He's basically saying, in his reaction to the extremes of the practices of those that believed in the primacy of the Spirit, of those that just put the major emphasis on the Spirit, in reaction to that, he reacted badly, and he's saying that that had more damage to his relationship with God than the effect of the wrong doctrines and questionable practices that they believed. Friends, who you believe the Holy Spirit is and why God sent him to us is very important in our lives. And God wants to introduce himself. God, the Holy Spirit, wants to introduce himself to you tonight. And if you already know him, he wants to introduce himself to you in a far more deeper level than what you do know him. You know that the Holy Spirit is the only true God on this planet. Think about it. The only true God on this planet, Holy Spirit. Jesus at the right hand of the Father. He's not on this planet. He sent the Holy Spirit because he was leaving this planet. But on this planet, the only true God, Holy Spirit. His presence on this planet is the presence of both the Father and of Jesus Christ, his Son. His presence here amongst us is an expression. He is the Spirit of truth that Jesus left behind that would perfectly represent him and perfectly represent the will of his Father. What you believe about the Holy Spirit will seriously affect what God can use you to do and what you can become. To refuse to deal with the Spirit is to refuse to deal with God. To refuse to deal with the Spirit is also to refuse to deal with Jesus. That's what I'm talking about here. This is huge. We can know about him and believe in him. The question is, do we trust him? Like we trust Jesus. Like we trust the Father. Do we trust the Holy Spirit? Do we trust the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth? We do trust the devil to deceive us more than we do the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. Do we trust the Holy Spirit? Do we believe in him? We know about him, but do we trust him as we do Jesus? The Holy Spirit is not a stranger that we to be afraid of, but rather the living God whom we are to love. I want to introduce you tonight to another level. The Holy Spirit wants to know us and get hold of us deeper. And what happens is we end in the church in theological circles. We have this wrestle between the Word and the Spirit and the Father and Jesus and who's the most important. They're all one. Every single one of them is deferring to the other. But one thing I do know, now this is a beautiful quote. I think it's from R.T. Kendall. If we have the Word without the Spirit, we tend to dry up. If we have the Spirit without the Word, we tend to blow up. If we have both the Spirit and the Word, we tend to grow up and fire up. Amen. And God is calling us to fire up, friends. Yeah. Because the world needs a church on fire. It doesn't need a church that's going to sleep, that doubts itself, that doubts the one who's been sent to lead it into truth, to doubt the one that has been called to empower it to live in the gifts of the Spirit as well as in the fruit of the Spirit. It's called the church is meant to be, and the church, friends, is you and me, every single one of us, called to live an explosive power of the Spirit of God, holding on to the deep truths of the faith in the Word of God, so that that Word of God can get into the hearts of the people that have got no clue who He is. And it's evidenced through the way we love one another. By this you will know them, by their love for one another. Fruit of the Spirit. This is so powerful, friends. And you know what? The more pressing our external factors become, the more pressing the issues in our country become, the economy becomes, whatever it is, the more pressing these external factors become, the more pressing the internal emotions become, the more we need more of God. We are in a poised, this nation is poised for revival. This city, friends, KZN, is poised. If you look at what's happening around us, because people should be getting more and more hungry for the authentic presence of God. And you and me, friends, are that channel. We're not the electricity of the wire. We're the wire. We just connect people to the one who is the power. That's what God is looking for. But if we don't know who He is, and we start to distrust Him, and we start to think, yeah, and we start to doubt Him, and we start to stop letting Him lead us deeper and deeper into more truth, and deeper into what He wants us to become, what happens is we put a resistance in that, and we put a resistance into what God wants to do out there in the city. Friends, this thing happens in the city as well as in the church building. This is the place where we get fired up so that we can become fire starters and fire makers out there. This is what it says in John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood. Don't you? I mean, these are just, these screens, they're like just freaking me out. They're just tempting me. It's like, I'm just, these tools, I like stuff like this. It's just amazing. Amazing. Focus. It's envy and jealousy and stuff like that. Self-control, Lord. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him would later to receive. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So what is the direction of the flow of the Spirit? That way. You see, this is the picture of this that is picking up in the Old Testament is Ezekiel 47, the river of God. And where does the river of God, in Ezekiel 47, it's this picture of the river flowing from the temple in Jerusalem. Now, number one, there was no water source in Jerusalem, so this is no ordinary river. For there to be a flow of a river from the temple, I've been to Jerusalem, there's no river there, it's dry. For there to be a river flowing eastward, and from the Temple Mount, you would flow into the Mount of Olives, towards the Dead Sea. If there was a river flowing there, from the temple, starting from the temple, the allusion here, what he's trying to say is you and I are the temple from which the river of God flows. And in other texts, it confirms it. 1 Corinthians and talks about us being the temple of God. But he's talking here about the Holy Spirit. If you're thirsty, come to me and drink. If you believe in me, streams of living water will flow from you. It's living water. It's no ordinary water. It's water that as it flows, first of all, the river gets deeper the further away it goes from the temple. In the beginning, it's ankle deep. And the next, it's knee deep. And the next thing, it's waist deep. And the next thing, it's you can't stand. That's not a normal river. A normal river gets deeper, closer to the source, where it's flowing faster. And then as it gets towards the sea, it gets shallower and slower. You see, friends, we are designed to be faster, further away we go. Our best work should not be in the four walls of a building, of a church building. Our best work should be out there in the deep waters. This river is full of life. It's teeming with life. In fact, it compares the life within this river to the Mediterranean Sea. Its ecology, its biology, its bio kind of ology of this thing is, it's like a sea, but it's actually a river. It's so full of life. And wherever it flows, it brings life. And it's teeming with life to the point where it hits the Dead Sea, 35-36% salt content, nothing lives there. Nothing lives there because it is so full of salt. But when this water, this river of life hits that dead place, it starts to swarm with life. It doesn't, that Dead Sea doesn't contaminate the river. The river contaminates it. The river brings life to it. The Dead Sea doesn't bring death to the river. The river brings life to the Dead Sea. That's you and me. We are called to bring life to dead things. We're not called to take on the death of the world. But you can't do that unless rivers of living water are flowing by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the person of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was trying to talk about these things to his disciples over and over again. And twice in John chapter 6 and in John chapter 8, twice he says, "You do not understand these things because of the hardness of your heart." And we've been speaking about fruitfulness and how so much of fruitfulness has got to do with the condition or the soil, the condition of our hearts, friends. So much of it. And one of the things is hardness of heart. And I want to mention a few things about hardness of heart before I shake your hand and introduce you to Jesus. Not to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, and to Jesus. Because your hardness of heart stops you from receiving. See, it's this flow of living water from within you, but that flow comes from somewhere. And a hardness just stops it from flowing if you've got a hard heart. And it's easy to have a hard heart. Life can easily make you have a hard heart. This is what it says in Mark chapter 8. Friends, can I just say again, hardness of heart paralyzes our spiritual growth and fruitfulness. It kind of brings it paralyzes the flow of God through our lives. Not because of him, because of us. It's like that conduit that should be this big just gets constricted and constricted and constricted. And there's no place for God to flow. He's pushing, pressure's there, but no place to flow. This is what it says in Mark chapter 8, verse 14. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for the one, Mark chapter 8, verse 14. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for the one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, it is because we have no bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about bread? Listen, let me carry on reading. Do you still not see or understand? What stops us seeing or understanding? Hard hearts. Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke up the 5 loaves with the 5,000 and how many baskets of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many baskets of pieces did you pick up? 7, they answered. He said, and you still don't understand? You see, the disciples had did not realize that the spiritual world in which Jesus lived and worked overrode deficiencies of food. They were still thinking down here, and it was because of the hardness of their heart, Jesus says. You don't understand. Mark chapter 6. They're out on the boat in the middle of the lake. And the disciples are straining at the oars because the wind was against them. And before dawn, Jesus went out and walked on the lake, and he was about to pass them by. But when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost, and they cried out because they were all terrified. Lord, where are you? Take courage, don't be afraid, it's me. He says. Then in verse 51, he said, then he climbed into the boat with them. The wind died down, and they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. So what they got from the loaves, they didn't get the lesson from the loaves. Jesus is above food shortages, and Jesus is above wind and waves. That's what they were meant to get from that. But the hardness of their heart stopped them from understanding that. Some factors that cause us to have a hard heart. I've got a slide for us. Yo, it's a nice screen. Too much of bright. Number one, disappointments. In church life, in our personal life, in our family, in our health, disappointments harden our hearts. Attitudes of rejection. Attitudes of anger and jealousy harden our hearts. We don't know who we are and whose we are. End up getting a hard heart. This is a cracker. Believing that we have been dealt with unfairly by God. We deserve better, Lord, because we've served you so faithfully. We've given, we've served, we put our whole lives before you, and Lord, is this the best that can happen to me? Hardness of heart. We close our hearts off. Friends, we don't deserve anything. We live by grace, by the gift of God. Everything we have is a gift. We see ourselves as failures. This is huge, friends. If we constantly see ourselves as failures and having no value, we speak hardness into our hearts, and we can't receive what God wants to do with us. And we can't flow with what God wants to do through us. Identity issues. When we lose hope, that actually all our hopes and dreams will never be fulfilled. Heart shrinks and gets hard. These are some things. When things happen to us in our past, particularly from our childhoods, and what happens is we take on lies, we believe the lies that happen when those moments, maybe they're words spoken by authority figures that land in our hearts, that shrink our hearts. Maybe it's some form of abuse that shrinks our hearts, it hardens our hearts. Friends, God wants to heal some of these things tonight because he wants to use you, to flow through you. It's not teams from Bethel that are meant to do this. It's the Church of Jesus Christ that are meant to do this. They bless us in making us get excited about what can be. So this is what I want to do. First of all, I want to pray for us. And then I want to ask you, I feel like there's a fresh reintroduction of the Holy Spirit to some of us that's required. Maybe Greg, if you could come up, thanks. And this is the picture that I had. And this is certainly not about me. But I had a picture of me shaking somebody's hand as a representation of being introduced and that God was going to meet you. Not me, him. Prophetic picture. I feel like some people were going to take the Holy Spirit by the hand and say, "Pleased to meet you, sir. Never let my hand go." And some of you have done that before. But some of you need to go deeper. Because that river of life gets deeper the further away we go from its source. So Father, I ask right now, if any of those things about a hard heart have caught our attention, I pray right now where we are in our seats, Lord, I pray we acknowledge those things. Acknowledge that that is true of me. That I've taken on that lie. And then right where you are, friends, ask God to forgive you. And allow the water of God and the oil of God to come back into your heart. So that once again it would begin to get soft and big again for him. So if that's you, just right where you are, just do business with God right where you are, friends. God is moving, God is working. Holy Spirit is God with us. Jesus, little baby Jesus, was God with us. And he grows up for 30 years and gets baptized by the Holy Spirit. And for 3 years changes what the world will be forever. That same Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, that same person of the Holy Spirit that on that day in the River Jordan came upon Jesus and rested him upon him like a dove and said, "You are my son with whom I love and with whom I'm well pleased." That same Holy Spirit, that same person wants to meet with you. Think about that. The same person that put his arms around Jesus wants to put his arms around you. That same person that empowered Jesus to do all these things wants to empower you and me to do all these things. That same person that had to deal with all Jesus' issues as he grew up as an illegitimate bastard child, with all the ridicule of not knowing who his dad was, but kind of Joseph, but mom, who was my dad? And all the community rebuke and all the, that same Holy Spirit that taught Jesus about who he was and showed him who he was, that he would gladly, because of the Father's will, face the most excruciating death on behalf of humanity. Trusting him that the outcome of that would be as the scriptures intended it to be. By faith, think of it. Same Holy Spirit. Father, I ask you right now, do work in our hearts, Lord. Father, I pray nobody would leave this place with a small, shriveled heart, hard heart. Expand our hearts, Lord. Expand our expectation. Renew and refresh and revive the understanding of who we are and what we are called to be and do. That no matter who we are, whether we've got a job or not, no matter what job we do, the same Holy Spirit is speaking to us. Thank you for that right now, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you want to be reintroduced to the Holy Spirit, I want you to come forward. This Holy Spirit that I've been talking about. Come forward. You want to meet this Holy Spirit at just at another level. Come forward. Allow what God is doing in your heart to get relayed into a space where actually you can say, God, actually, I need you to take me by the hand. Purpose over my life. Fruit of the Holy Spirit, joy, inexpressible joy. Inexpressible joy. Profound love. Powerful execution of his will. Just thank you, Lord.